Hello, everyone. I'm Brian Zimmerman, AVP, Client Content and Strategy with Becker's Healthcare. Thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. Today, we'll discuss the voice of the clinician, addressing attrition and retention. And to unpack this, I'm joined by Robin Geiger, Senior Vice President, Clinician Advocacy with Ingenovis Health. Robin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
So before we dive into some questions here, can you go ahead and, you know, just share a bit about your professional background, a bit about yourself and Ingenovis Health?
Absolutely. I've been in nursing for over 25 years. I started at the bedside like many of the nurses today. I spent my first years of nursing in the medical intensive care unit, ICU, then joined central staffing, providing care in multiple ICUs, the ER and OR, before becoming a family nurse practitioner. I've been in higher education administration as lead faculty and associate dean, and I have a doctorate in nursing and advanced board certification as a nurse executive. I'm currently the senior vice president for clinician advocacy at Ingenovis Health, which is the parent company to FastStaff, TrueStaff, US Nursing, Healthcare Support, Cardio Solutions, Vista, and Springboard. Our company brands provide workforce and staffing opportunities for frontline healthcare workers, offering our travelers short-term, long-term, and permanent placements. And in my current role, I lead and develop the ACT program, which is our commitment to advocacy, sustained career support, and tools or resources for frontline clinicians.
Robin, thank you so much for that background. It sounds like you're the perfect person to unpack this topic today. So, nursing shortages, of course, have been consistently making headlines for quite some time now. What are some of the factors you believe are contributing to this now as we sort of shift into this post-COVID world? The nursing shortages seem to, you know, be persisting, and they seem to, like, this will be a problem for the foreseeable future, unfortunately, as well. Can you talk about some of the driving factors here?
Yeah, it's a great question. There are many reasons that factor into the nursing shortage, but at least three factors continue to resurface in conversation for me. Staffing ratios, aging provider population, and lack of nursing faculty to teach new nurses. So that's usually the three factors that surface for me, and I can dive into that just a little bit. So the pandemic, let's start there. This really pushed nurses to their breaking point. The stress of an increasingly sick population with limited staffing made them feel overworked, and often they felt unappreciated by patients and administration. Then you have staffing as a concern. What we see, especially in the media, is that nurses say they're understaffed and that they feel they're at risk with a large number of assigned patients or patients with higher acuity. And then with the aging provider population, many of our nurses are retiring, and they're retiring at a pace that doesn't quite coincide with new nurses entering the field. And that's a real problem. And then with the lack of faculty, while there are nurse educator scholarships to encourage nurses to take faculty positions, the pay is often low in relation to other specialties. So to put it plainly, nurses can make more money at the bedside or in a clinic than teaching. You know, the nursing shortage, it didn't really happen due to COVID. A weak and often marginalized nursing workforce was already in place. COVID just allowed greater visibility of the problem. It allowed us to see areas within healthcare that we really need to respond to in order to retain nurses in the field.
Thank you, Robin. And that's a pretty comprehensive, though concise, overview of some of these challenges. But I wonder if we can just zoom in a little bit and get your perspective as a clinician yourself. I imagine you have some thoughts, some personal thoughts maybe about why nurses are leaving the profession. Can you share what you believe some of the underlying causes here, the motivations are beyond some of these broader, bigger, almost existential trends that you laid out?
Right. Well, I think the profession has been romanticized to some degree. Students see advertisements and established RNs doing well and getting jobs right out of college, but they may miss the real challenges that come with nursing. So when I talk to nurses at conferences and in my day-to-day, some of them have just had enough. they're tired earlier in their career, and I believe a lack of transparency of the reality in the profession may contribute to this. Recent media, just thinking back of a nurse being arrested for a med error was scary, to say the least, to a lot of nurses. This attention and the realization that nurses can be arrested for unintentional errors definitely contributes to anxiety about staying or entering the profession. Add to that, nurses may experience death and dying almost daily. Whether the loss is a patient or a family member, they're expected to go back to work with little downtime to mourn or process what they just experienced. And this confounds, it adds, and it can take a toll on their mental health. Pre-existing staffing shortages are also creating heavier workloads that are often unsustainable. Add to this, again, there's combative or unstable patients and bedridden patients that require repositioning often. That can lead to physical injuries and unsafe working conditions. And then just the feeling that no one is listening to their needs. This can impact their psychological safety and increases risk for everyone involved, nurses and patients. When we stop talking about it, it's a problem.
These are big, troubling challenges you've laid out here, Robin. Right. And certainly there's going to be no quick fixes here. Like there's got to be long-term investment and a lot of long-term thinking, but also want to see impacts in the short term here. There's good, but there's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Sure.
But as a senior vice president and you're focused in clinician advocacy, I'm curious what your thoughts are on how collectively that the healthcare industry can really begin to truly address the needs of clinicians and make some substantial changes here.
Right. In order to address the needs of clinicians, I think collaboration is key. This means going outside of our own health system or organization. And Genevis has worked to identify a strong interdisciplinary chief nurse advisory board, clinical and non-clinical, from varied demographics and organizations to do just that, to create solutions. We can synergize our efforts to make real change for clinicians. And I'm really excited about the upcoming work that we're going to do together as we move forward into the year with that advisory board. Also, creating transparency in nursing education is huge. As a previous nurse education leader during program development, I recall the curriculum focus was centered more on patient safety and industry standards, but there is a need to increase focus on self-care and real-world challenges within the nursing profession. Nursing graduates should understand the risk of mental health struggles and the importance of physical conditioning. So if you want a long career as a nurse, you have to take care of yourself. Also, I think it's important to listen to the voice of the clinician because they are speaking up. They're telling us what they want. We just have to respond. And we've done that. And in Genevis, we've done this by outlining our purpose as building a home for healthcare talent with a mission to provide tools and resources to be part of the solution. So we launched the ACT program, which stands for Advocacy, Career, and Tools, to help clinicians grow, flourish, and thrive in their careers. I think this is an industry push forward in the right direction.
Let's get into that. I want to hear more about the ACT program. So, of course, in Genevis Health, really, you place thousands of nurses and other clinicians every year. Mm-hmm. So given the scale and the diversity of your workforce, can you talk a little bit about how the ACT program was designed and perhaps some of the unique features that this program has?
I'm happy to. The Ingenivis Health ACT program is a collective of tools and resources developed with the voice of clinicians in mind. It's a coordinated effort to bring a focus to the issues and stem the tide of attrition. And what I mean by this is, going back to the voice of clinician, we conducted a pulse survey and found that our nurses were 55% more likely to seek employment from a staffing agency or health system with dedicated programs for well-being and career advancements. So we listen to these clinicians and we provide those programs as part of our home for healthcare talent. 88% of those surveyed also had ideas about what a supportive plan would look like for them, which fell into a few categories. They wanted education and career development. They wanted financial benefits and non-financial benefits, such as our wellness programs. And they wanted an improved experience. So with this in mind, we wanted to provide more to clinicians than before, more than they've received in traveling assignments and from organizations in the past. And that's where the ACT program came from. So for advocacy, we provide enhanced listening for a deeper understanding of an evolving workforce and the stressors in the clinician environment and a commitment to our voice, our reach, and resources to address issues on their behalf. And we stand that up for advocacy. As far as career, there's career advancement ladders to inspire and motivate clinicians. A good example of this would be training programs created for leadership and professional development that are available for clinicians, and lots of supporting tools, practical tools and resources that help them to advance, thrive, and provide the best patient care. This includes mental health and well-being programs like our ACT program webinar series, financial planning support, and workforce violence training. So the Ingenovis Health family of brands creates more of an ecosystem, providing clinicians with a home, like a community, while having many opportunities among our company of brands for transition and growth during different stages of their careers. I'm really excited about this program, and I'm finding that most of our clinicians are too.
I mean, you know, throughout this conversation, we've really, you've really laid out some really difficult challenges, of course. But, you know, I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about the future of nursing, just based on the fact that we're having this conversation, and conversations like these are becoming more prominent. I'm having a lot more of them, which is great. I get to talk to great leaders like you and hear about the wonderful work you're doing, like with the ACT program. So I do think there's cause for some optimism here about the future of nursing. So I'm curious here, Robin, what do you hope for the future of nursing? What are you hopeful about? What do you hope comes to pass?
Thank you for the question, Brian. I'm hopeful for a lot, maybe longer than we have time for in this podcast, but primarily I hope for a stronger, more resilient nursing workforce. And I speak to this in some of the conferences that I'll be presenting for the beginning and remainder of this year. I hope for more understanding, uplifting, and support of our new graduate nurses. Tenured nurses should have the opportunity to mentor and increase acceptance of varied learning styles and cultures with respect to generational differences, which we welcome to grow and advance the profession. We need all the individual differences to keep change current. And if we intentionally work together, we can prepare the future nursing workforce for challenges ahead, because there'll be many.
Robin, thank you so much. I think that's a perfect place for us to close out. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Thank you for having me, Brian. It's great talking to you.
Great talking to you as well. I also want to thank our podcast sponsor, of course, Ingenovis. You can tune to more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page.